This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
And was that Nikki? Nikki was in that movie. Nikki
from Fresh Prince. Yeah. Yep. Absolutely. Absolutely. Nikki got more run in Independence Day than he did on The Fresh Prince of Bel-Air. Nikki and Devontae from Black-ish got the same amount of run.
I think, because I feel like I watched Independence Day in the last 2 years, and I can't remember how I felt about it. It felt like it, I think it holds up.
Yeah, I don't doubt that. I've never gotten around to it.
I think it holds up. I think you'll watch that and be like, that's a good movie. I'll put it to you like this. I think Independence Day holds up better than them Spider-Man movies.
Which ones? The early 2000s?
Yeah, with
the Tobey Maguire ones.
Those are trash.
When's the last time you rewatched those ones?
That's the one with like the Macho Man, ago. Right? The Macho Man is in the first Tobey Maguire one.
You didn't tell me this was a cage match.
I saw that like a year ago on TV. I was like, this is garbage. It's trash. Like, the CGI, the special effects is just... Damn. It's almost like...
Is it like the Michael Keaton Batman?
Yeah, it is. But at least that was in 89.
Yeah, it was 89. Yeah.
This was like... I think when people talk about it, I think they said this was like right before, like a year or two before like CGI like really started popping.
You know what I remember the most about that Batman movie is it was like the first video cassette that you could get for like $10. Mm. It was like $9.99. And every VHS prior to that was like $40 or $50. Like wrestling videos cost $60. Like you couldn't own them. Yeah. They were crazy. But Batman came out and it was like $9.99. They started getting produced differently and you could actually buy VHSs to have at home.
Well, thank God for that. Scandalous.
Can't wait till D'Lo and Casey the movie comes out.
We already have people playing us.
How much do we? Oh, we do. Yeah. Who's playing you?
I think it was Morris Chestnut.
Oh, that Morris, was your. That was your said, I think that was your call.
Well, yeah, yeah. Somebody said Freddie Gibbs. That's cool too.
And Jesse, who's playing me?
I can't remember. That's what I was trying to remember.
I think I got Michael Pena. Sure, I guess. That's the one.
Right. Drew down here talking about Toby will always be my Spider-Man. Yeah,
The new ones are better.
Yeah, come on, man.
Dr. David says he has the poster.
Please. Tom Holland kills that.
Yeah.
He bodies that Spider-Man role. It's Toby.
Andrew Garfield was pretty weak.
What if I told you I've never seen those Spider-Man movies?
The newest ones?
I've only seen the Toby Maguire ones.
You gotta watch them, just like Jesse gotta watch Independence Day. These new Spider-Mans.
But aren't there like a bunch of different ones with different people? Like, is the Amazing Spider-Man a completely different thing?
That's yeah,
Toby,
it's,
isn't it?
No, the Amazing Spider-Man is Andrew Garfield.
Okay.
Spider-Man, just regular Spider-Man is.
Is there a Spider-Man where they're all in it?
That's Spider-Verse.
Well,
that's the cartoon.
That's the cartoon.
You're talking about with the actors themselves, though?
Yeah.
Yeah. No. Oh, yeah, no Way Home has all the Spider-Man.
Yeah, that's right.
In it.
That's okay. It does.
That's after Endgame, I think.
It does.
What was the one with Miles?
That's
Into the Spider-Verse.
Yeah.
So I tried to watch the second one and I didn't like it.
You didn't like the second one?
I didn't. I loved the first one.
First one was fantastic.
The second one I feel like was lost. I was like, there's so much. The first one was really charming.
It definitely wasn't as good as
cute.
The first.
Yeah. Like, but the second one was like, do I need to be high to watch this? What are y'all trying to tell me? And I think I got to turn it off.
Yeah, Into the Spider-Verse is.
I still got to watch those ones
iconic.
Too.
This is a show you do the day after the Kings lose by 56.
that they traded away 5 years ago has become this massive superstar and is on the verge of going to the finals. Meanwhile, one is in San Antonio for yours and the other is still here.
Do you think the ascent of Tyrese Halliburton is going to make Kings fans hate De'Aaron Fox?
Hmm.
I think you're thinking too hard. I think the answer is yes, because I damn near hate De'Aaron Fox.
It's misdirected anger from
maybe.
Like, maybe. In reality, you should be angry with Monty McNair, Vivek, Wes Wilcox, and anyone else who gave an opinion in that front office.
Yeah, but they're still kings. You're, like, frustrated with them. You're hurt by them. De'Aaron, I think people are going to wind up disliking De'Aaron Fox because of how good Tyrese is.
See, I don't think so.
Okay.
I think all that heat will go towards. Oh, come on, Ray.
Well, what's his name, Casey? What's his name? By the way, hold on. I'm gonna set the Chatty Owls on fire for a second because we have a new feature that I don't think anyone's tried. Where I think if we hit this button right here, the chats just show up.
Oh, my God.
They just show up on the screen. Now, this is dangerous.
Now, this is for real, like, streamer university. Like,
this is a tough world. I'm not sure that we're prepared to live in. But over on the Chatty House right now, you could just comment.
Drew Downs comment right there.
It pops up on the screen.
Yeah, Drew Downs said the name.
No, there it is.
I know we're on the radio, but Drew Downs said the name, so it's good.
I like this feature, by the way.
I do, too.
You do? You want shoot? So we leave
trust,
this up?
I don't trust the people chatting, but I'd like need, the feature.
Well, we need to. We probably need to make some adjustments to the banner.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But yeah.
Put them up top, maybe. 102.5 on one side, ESPN 1320 on another.
Well, from what I hear, Jesse and Kyle have been talking to some bigwigs who are trying to help us out with our YouTube channel because they realize we're good at this. Huh? So.
Yeah.
Thanks. For the first time in 5 years, the company's like, let's invest in this a little bit.
I showed someone
Hold on. See, what? You're right. You can't show because now Steven is just doing wild stuff. This ain't got nothing to do with nothing.
I see. Steven ruined the party.
All right. Well, no. Steven.
Everybody go home.
Ain't got nothing to do with nothing.
Steven Brown. Steven Brown ruined the new feature. And honestly, we can't let Drew Down messages just be shown on the screen the entire show.
Next thing you know, they're going to be singing the Ramit song.
No, the Chatty House is the biggest group of degenerates I've ever seen.
Those are our degenerates, though.
They are.
Oh, man.
They are.
You got to watch these guys, man. You got to watch them.
However, your boy, Ram, was right. Well, I think
he's the only one that said that.
I don't think he is.
I think Fox will there's things of his own doing outside of Tyrese Haliburton that maybe makes people
for sure
but
I think it'll get magnified though.
I think the heat goes mostly, I won't say solely, but mostly to Monty McNair.
Alright. I mean he deserves all of the heat. Well, yeah, he does.
Monty McNair, like, looking at it today, Monty McNair ended up trading the best player out of this group of three that's been connected since the trade. Mm-hmm. Like, Tyrese is the better player out of De'Aaron Fox and Sabonis. And it's just tough because, like, you still could have made something work with Fox and Sabonis. It wasn't like, oh, you made the trade and it was all just over after that.
Right.
Like, that wasn't the case at all. You could have did something, but you just stayed still the entire time and... That's how we are, like where we are now.
And that's why I don't necessarily like the comparison of they traded, and I'm not shooting at Jesse, but they traded the best player and all this other stuff, because I still think De'Aaron Fox is the best player.
I'm off that train.
I think he's the best player.
I jumped off that train, ran my ass over.
But let me ask you guys this, and it goes to Jesse's point. If Monty McNair pulls the trigger and gets Pascal Siakam instead of, in Indiana, do you think we're having the same conversation?
The last part confused me. If
Monty McNair
goes and gets Pascal Siakam, the Pacers don't.
Yeah, because almost this comes down to who made that move to help their guy.
Yeah. No, I do. I absolutely believe it's a different conversation.
And that's so
absolutely.
That's why.
But
you got to tell the whole story.
But the story going to be too goddamn long. because that everything you just said is right, which is why the idea of directing your anger at Monty McNair or your frustration at Monty McNair is perfectly fair. Mm. What I said in the text is what I believe to be true. De'Aaron went to a spot now where he could be the second guy or the third. I said this after the man scored 60. He has, in my opinion, I believe this to be true today, he has no concept of how good he is. None. And I do not believe that that man has a desire to be great. I think he has a desire to, I absolutely believe he has a desire to win, be good. I think he is perfectly okay being Wemby's guy. I think he's perfectly fine with that. And salute, he's going to live happily ever after. He's going to have a place in this league a very, very long time. He's going to have a place in San Antonio, probably, for a really long time in that role.
He's content with the situation.
He doesn't have to be him. And I don't think that bothers him. For the Pacers to be where they are, Ty has to be him. For the Kings to go where everyone in this fan base desperately wants them to, wherever that may be, where they haven't been the last two seasons, Domas has to be great. San Antonio hinges on one individual, and it's not De'Aaron Fox.
Yeah,
and so it's hard for me. It's hard to. I just don't see him as the best player anymore.
Fox is going to get like 25, 26, and whatever. Tyrese is not ever going to average that many points, but like Tyrese has just taken every moment this postseason and just kind of made it all his.
Yeah.
Like
he's been the star of this postseason, in my opinion.
Yeah.
And part of that is winning. Like if Jalen was up 3-1, I think Jalen would have been the star of this postseason. But he's not.
He's just got that switch that we talk about that kind of sets the superstars from the stars or whatever you want to call it.
He absolutely does. But in defense of De'Aaron just a little bit, that's getting further and further away from this moment. But he was going toe-to-toe with one of the GOATs too.
Absolutely.
He was going toe-to-toe, point for point.
Mm-hmm.
And he had the Warriors shook.
Mm-hmm.
They weren't able to continue on that path.
But that's part of the story.
But that's a little out of De'Aaron's control, right? Like he did his job, so to speak, but to elevate and get to another level, to get to another stage, they needed everybody to do what they were supposed to do.
You're right, in terms of that offseason. Mm-hmm. You're right, but like they lost that series, and it felt like a starting point. That's what that series with Golden State felt like. It felt like a starting point, and it wasn't. It was the end.
Mm. And you know what? And I'm always crapping on this guy, and I don't mean to because I like him, and I respect his basketball mind. But you know, I heard something today. I think it was Zach Lowe was talking about Rick Carlisle and how people have to look at Rick Carlisle a little different and what he's accomplished in his coaching career.
Sure.
And one of the things that he says is one of the absolute pluses to Rick Carlisle, if you look at his career and look at his teams that he's coached, is he a...
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Adapts to his team.
Mm.
He doesn't have a system of Rick Carlisle.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
He looks at what he has and says, this is what we need to do to be successful.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what we didn't have here.
Yeah. And he's shown that. Rick has shown that just in this version of the Indiana Pacers.
Mm-hmm.
You're absolutely right.
And with Mike Brown, we had something that was working. And he said, this is not what I believe can win. I need to change this a little bit. And I need to change the roster a little bit and do all this other stuff. And it completely failed. Completely failed.
Jump in on this conversation. We'd love to hear your thoughts on this. I know you had... I think you had separate thoughts on the Sacramento Kings to this?
Yeah, yeah, I do. And, you know, we're talking. Like, if there's
all
more
right,
on this,
we get this show on track. it didn't take long. You know,
back to the 2 hour days.
Man, boy, we'll come back. We also got James in the final hour, so there's a lot of Kings basketball ahead here. A lot of NBA talks. D'Lo and Casey on Sacramento Sports Leader ESPN 1320. I can't believe I made it back in time. That was crazy. I think we got something brewing in June.
Hey,
back at Sky River.
Come on, man.
But it's a little bit different this time. It's a little bit different.
Shout out Sky River.
Always.
I heard over the week. I didn't know this. I'm gonna have to check this out. I heard our man DJ Oasis be at Sky River.
For real?
Friday nights, I think.
Really?
He left early. That's why he left early the other night.
I thought he was going to dive bar. No, where spots are.
Yeah, I thought that's Nico was like, yeah, we'd be over there. That's why I had to take over.
Bro, the end of that concert was so funny. We was on stage. I think Nico hit Squabble Up. No one left. Exhibit wraps up. No one leaves. And then all of a sudden the music stops. And I look over at Nico, and Nico's talking to somebody, and then he looks back at me and goes,
yes, oh.
Like, what? I thought we had at least 15 minutes.
Yeah.
Nope, the city.
Yeah, that thing popping.
City told us, it's over.
All right.
It's over. We'll give you the details, man. Probably next week. For what's jumping off at Sky River. Date's been approved.
Nice.
We've got a few things to work out, but it'll be very different than anything we've done before. And hopefully it'll open up for a lot more people to be there. And we're going to have some fun because it's not going to be broadcast.
Are we talking?
Don't talk.
Are we talking?
We're going to talk.
Didn't you, I ain't trying to put you on the spot, but didn't you say you will talk about the whole situation?
Yeah, De'Aaron. I'll tell you about. Yes, I'll tell y'all. I mean, I'll have to protect certain things.
Right.
I'll tell y'all what happened. It was the weekend I was in Monterey. Mm. So whenever that was, it was a few weeks ago, whenever it was. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I'll tell you about the message that I got and where I was literally like, just like staring at my phone, rereading this message over and over and over again, like, yo, for real? All right. All right. Yeah, I'll tell that story. I'll tell that story. Q&A's too. We'll open it up. It'll be D'Lo and Casey uncensored from Sky River Casino. So we'll have all the details on that for you in the next week or so. Lots of great events coming up. You want to go to the Wake Up Call Live? That's June 28th at the Crest Theater. Text live right now to 916-909-1065. That'll send you a link. The tickets are almost sold out. The VIP tickets are gone. I'm so proud of her, so proud of them. That's like I told Katie this week, they're going to sell out the Crest Theater. Mm. They wanted a venue that held like 200 or 300. The Crest holds significantly more than that, and I'm very confident with the week to go, they're going to sell that out.
That's fire. That is fire. Shout out to them, man.
Steven asked, can we get the Too Short story too? Yeah, like part of it. Like part of it I won't. It's probably not what you... I'll tell it. I'll tell the Too Short story at Sky River too. Y'all want to get in, man? Get in. 916-909-1320. Speaking of De'Aaron Fox, I asked the question, like, do you think Tyrese's success is going to cause Kings fans to get more frustrated with De'Aaron? Now, you said something important there, that maybe De'Aaron's own actions will get people frustrated with De'Aaron. I think people are already on edge with De'Aaron Fox. Mm-hmm. And Jesse's right, too. It's a lot of misdirected anger to be mad at De'Aaron. But I just can envision this turn on De'Aaron Fox watching the success of Tyrese. And maybe if the demise of this Kings team is slightly over-exaggerated and they can get back to some form of a really competitive Western Conference team next year, mm-hmm. I don't think it happens. Mm-hmm. But
I think
if it doesn't.
What you said is really key, because it's not just Tyrese's success. It is the floundering of this franchise
yeah.
that has people upset.
Right.
If Tyrese, let's just say he goes to the NBA Finals this year. If Tyrese went to the NBA Finals during Beam Team 1 year, I don't think they'd be tripping that much. They'd still be like, oh, man, look at this guy. You know, we had him, and he's going to the NBA Finals. But during Beam Team 1 year, we'd still be, you know, talking about our future and talking about what could be in the future with this particular team. The fact that a lot of people believe this team has no future, they've lost the piece that they decided to trade Tyrese Haliburton for and De'Aaron Fox, like, we're moving on from him to keep Fox, and now he's gone. It's just got people super, super angry about it. And De'Aaron's going to catch some of that heat, but I think Monty's going to catch the most.
Yeah, but you know the thing about that? Monty's not visible. I mean this is like a very literal. We might never see Monty again. Like, the man, I'm positive the man will work in the league. The man might have a job right now. I have no idea. We might never know. Yeah. I do not think we will ever see Monty McNair's face again. That man will work in the league for the next 20 years doing what he loves to do, crush numbers, draft 24-year-olds, whatever he wants. But I don't know that we're going to see De'Aaron. Killer part, we're going to see De'Aaron a lot. De'Aaron is going to be on national TV more times than Caitlin Clark.
It's facts.
And it's going to be right there at the forefront because, you know, Wemby's the one. And he's going to be playing alongside of him. And that Spurs team will, I think, what everyone thought the Spurs team would be last year, that's what I'm wondering if they might be this year. Like, I think that Spurs team could, people talk about Spurs are coming. I think the Spurs could be really, really good this season. I thought it was a little crazy when people said that last year.
Yeah.
But this, obviously, a better version now with De'Aaron there. We see Steph. Like, I just don't want to call him that. Stephon Castle, like, this team is good.
I think they definitely could be playoff team, potential contender next year.
Wow.
I think the thing with De'Aaron Fox, though, it's all, for me, it's always going to come back to how good the Kings are. If the Kings are good,
you're right,
I don't think people are going to be that upset. Most people.
Yeah.
If they're bad, everybody going to get it.
Mm-hmm.
Everybody.
Yeah.
But if they're good, if they're a playoff team, like, let's just say Beam Team 1, they don't have to be the 3 seed, but say they're 5-6 seed and they're going to the playoffs and they're a good team and it's an exciting brand of basketball, I don't think people will be tripping that much about Tyrese or De'Aaron.
Mm-hmm.
But you better be good.
Mm-hmm.
You better be good because you're going to have to deal with it if you're not, if you're Vivek and
Scott Perry
and all those other guys. So tough spot to be in, man. Tough spot to be in. They created it themselves. And, yeah, man, we'll see if they can dig themselves out of it. Speaking of digging themselves out of the situation they're in, talking about the Sacramento Kings.
Mm-hmm.
I was thinking on the way in, and it happened because I saw a tweet, actually.
Okay.
And the tweet said something kind of vague to the point of the Cavs are not looking at Darius Garland and Jared Allen as untouchable. They look at Donovan and Evan Mobley as untouchable. But they possibly, that's a lot of words, right? But they possibly may be open to entertaining.
It's a hell of a tweet.
Entertaining conversations on Garland and Jared Allen.
Okay.
And one of the reasons why I think that's accurate is because they're about to be a second apron team.
Yeah.
And they're going to have to shed some salary somewhere. And I think about trying to get high caliber players in here, and I look at Garland as that type of guy. I even look at Jared Allen as that, but my target would be Garland.
Okay.
And I know you've got DeRozan. That's one for sure.
Mm-hmm.
And then you add something to that. You might even have to add a pick to get Garland. But I'm talking about a player that you would have to add as well as DeRozan in that pick. And is everybody sold on the idea of having to keep Carter and Keon Ellis?
To directly answer your question, no.
Do you think the general King's public is, though?
I do not. And I'll tell you why, Jesse. Go ahead.
Like you're talking about just keeping them both?
Yeah. Like
Keon needs to be here. I'm not so sure about Devin Carter.
Okay, so this is the discussion that we have.
So my feeling is I don't think Kings fans are hung up on anyone being here or any combination of guys being here. Mm. That's my opinion, and I could be completely wrong. I don't check the pulse often on social media, but
Keon's not untouchable like or anything like that. But
the Kings don't have an untouchable player.
Yeah, like I think like my thing is like you want to keep guys like Keon around on your roster if you can.
Aren't they a little redundant?
Keon and Devin?
Yeah. Like at their best, like once we saw Devin kind of like getting in the, yeah, and he was playing like, oh, okay, this is the guy we thought we were getting. I'm not saying he's as good as Keon, but isn't it like kind of the same type of player?
I don't think Devin shoots as good as Keon.
Yeah, that's probably true. Who do you think has more growth potential?
Devin.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay.
And I like Keon a lot. But
so you'd be good, move Keon. You'd be good if Keon was in the Sacramento King next year.
If they told, and I know this isn't the question I ask, and a lot of people, this is probably common sense, but if Cleveland was like, we'll do a Darius Garland deal, DeRozan, future first, and give us Keon Ellis.
Okay, settle down, Cleveland. And talk about future first. Future first, why don't you throw Jared Allen in there too then?
I would, for those on the radio, I'm giving a perplexed look. If Cleveland said today, we'll do DeRozan, a future first, and Keon Ellis for Darius Garland and damn near Darius Garland only. Hell yeah.
Okay. Let me remind you. Is it Kobe or Colby?
Colby with a L.
Colby. Let me remind you. You're sniffing disaster. You're on this. I'm helping you. Mm-hmm. So let's walk through this a little bit. Nobody's storming out of the negotiation room like they're Kenny Caraway or anything.
Slandered that man, Kenny Caraway. He's a good guy. He's a good negotiator.
I would. Well, he might be a lot of things. But I don't know if that's true. I'd press them on the idea of how much I'm willing to give up, knowing, look, man, we're helping each other. Mm-hmm. But that's not the point. The point is, I love Darius Garland. I like that. I like Darius Garland. I actually love Jared Allen.
Yeah.
But
I mean, if they want to give us both of them, that's great too. I just don't think that's realistic for that.
No, probably not. Yeah, probably not.
I would push back a little bit if I were the Kings on the future. If I'm giving you, especially if I'm giving you Devin Carter, if I'm including him in the trade, why do I got to give you a future first?
Well,
you know what I mean? Like, sure. Come on, man. I'm basically giving you a rookie.
He is essentially a rookie.
Yeah,
first-round
pick, mm-hmm. Basically.
Mm-hmm.
So,
mm-hmm.
Like, hold on trying to give you a first-round pick. But I was just thinking about it, and I was even thinking about, like, Sabonis. Like to get a guy in here that, and I look at Darius Garland, he's still a young guy. He's an all-star point guard. Even for Jared Allen, would you be open to moving Sabonis for one of those guys? Because the thing I'm looking at right now for the Kings, if you're really getting in that trade market and trying to figure some stuff out, is you got to find these teams that have second apron issues. And you try to see if maybe you start to pick guys off of it.
Mm-hmm.
Denver, I don't necessarily, not saying I want this guy, but somebody, I forgot who I was listening to, brought up, it might have been Boogie Cousins, brought up DeRozan needs to go to Denver and the Kings get back Michael Porter Jr. I'm not saying I want Michael Porter Jr., mm-hmm. but that's the situation you're looking at. These teams that are up against the second apron, that's where Jrue Holiday comes into play, that are the shed a little salary, and you can use potentially DeMar DeRozan's cheaper contract to go get you a guy like that. I'm of the belief that the Kings should be trying to that roster and win games and look to be a playoff team.
Mm-hmm.
So because of that, yeah, I'm looking at guys like Garland, Jared Allen, Michael Porter Jr. to a lesser, Drew Holiday, and trying to see if I can start to pick these guys off of these teams that are in trouble.
Yeah, I'm all for that. I don't think I love the idea of trading Sabonis, though. Again, not for something like that. Like, I'm not of the belief anyone on this roster is untouchable or untradeable. That includes Domas. There are no exceptions with Sacramento. You can't underachieve the way that you have. You can't have clarity the way that you have. And it's not a shot at Domas. This roster is wide open. But if you're moving, so you better be bringing me something that, like, is a pillar of something. And unless you're making the decision that we have all of our faith in Keegan. You have to have something to build around. Mm-hmm. Like, even if you feel like maybe this is temporary, you have to have something. And I still do feel like that's Domas, with Keegan being an important part of that. You kind of go, you're not building around Zach LaVine. I'm not of the belief you got to figure out a way to trade him. I believe Zach LaVine's going to be a king next year. Mm-hmm. But I do think Sabonis and potentially Keegan could be guys that you start to. I've said this a million times, and I'll say it a million more. I just don't believe this roster is as bad as they were last year.
I agree with you.
I think there is a level of underachieving that they did, and I don't feel like, now you can feel however you want to about the long term, and that's perfectly fair. If you think in 2 years this team is doomed, if you think now this team is doomed, I'm not going to fight anyone who feels that way. I just don't think this roster is that bad. I think you can make some moves that greatly improve it. Can you build a championship contender in a year or two? Probably not. But can you build a good basketball team? I absolutely believe that you can.
I agree with you 100%. I think maybe this is what you're saying, and maybe we're the only two to feel this way. I don't think they're that far away from being a playoff team. Like, I don't – like a move – if you got – I'm not even going to put a name because I don't know. But if you got the right point guard in here with this team next year, with this roster damn near as is, I think they could be a playoff team next year. It's tough in the West. The West is crazy.
That's a little tough for me, but I hear you.
But if you got, let's just say Darius Garland. If you had Darius Garland here running a point to go with LaVine, Keegan, Domas, you were able to keep Malik Monk. You've got less chaos this year. You got a full year of Doug Christie. I think you could push for a 6th seed with this team. I think they have that level of talent. So
I think you have that level of optimism. I think I'm right in between what you think and where they were last year. I'm like right in the middle of that. Where I don't remember. Maybe that's wrong. Maybe I should have some facts before I just say stuff. What was the 6th seed total last year? 49.
The Kings won 40.
Yeah. Man, that's tough because they're 49. Golden State was 48. Memphis was 48. And then there's the Kings at 40. Like, the drop-off was pretty steep.
Yeah.
Do you need someone better than Domas and LaVine to get there?
I think you
to need get somebody, to what, 49?
Yeah, to get to that 60.
I think you need somebody equal to them.
Yeah, I don't think you need someone better to get to 49 wins. You don't need someone better than those two to get to 49 wins. You need someone better than those two to get to 52 wins.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I agree. Which is kind of like the same thing I'm saying.
That feels... What were they missing last year, then?
They were missing a lot. Like, we... There's a lot roster-wise.
At time, a pulse. at times, leadership.
Well, because I'm thinking, like, they won, it was 40, right?
Yeah.
So it's like... You're just going to insert... Like, just insert someone as good as, like, LaVine and Sabonis. Like, that'd be, like, the top move, right? The move you have to make to get there. I just don't see how that...
I'm sorry, to get where?
to that 49 win mark, the top six or whatever it was.
So let me ask you this. I'll answer that, but let me ask you this. I'm not saying they were good or nothing like that, but we were. They looked different when they just got Laravia and Valanciunas.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, yo, this is a competent, two competent bench players.
But it didn't sustain.
No, but, well, there's. I think there's a few reasons. They didn't have a point guard, so that's one. They didn't have a point guard. Malik Monk goes down. Then you get into the intricacies of
has
everything.
Has anyone ever traded more point guards than Monty McNair?
Drafted and traded.
Yeah.
This guy.
He didn't draft De'Aaron. He re-signed him.
He did. You got that aspect. You got the fact that at that point, every man was for themselves.
Mm.
People were just quitting left and right.
The Royal Rumble.
So if you're not dealing with that, and once again, I'm not saying as they are that it's good enough. They need a point guard. But if you add a point guard and a good point guard to at the very.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Or at least what they have. I don't think they're that far away from being a playoff team.
I don't think Drew Holiday does it if it's Drew, Levine, and Domas. Like, I just they need a point guard. They need a starting three or four, depending on where you're going to play Keegan. Need wing depth after that. And then you're just kind of figuring out Poole's where. To me, it just feels like they need too much.
Wing depth is, and once again, I'm not saying he's great, but wing depth might be there.
Who?
When you talk about depth, I don't know if you have a starter, but when you talk about depth, you're going with a bench of Devin Carter, Keon Ellis, Jake Laravia, and Malik Monk.
It's three guards, and we'll see if they can bring back Laravia.
Yeah, I'm assuming they bring back
Laravia. Yeah, they still need depth.
But that's an assumption, right? Because aren't there some contractual things with Laravia that are a little wonky? That's this year, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
We'll ask James about that, but I think that's a, I don't know, maybe it's not a big assumption. Maybe it's just an assumption.
I mean, from what I know, the contractual stuff is they can't go above $5 million a year. Somebody wants to pay Jake Laravia $8 million a year, then we just lost him.
So be it.
Yeah, we just lost him. Like, then I don't know if I could do that, if we could do that.
Don't even really know who Devin Carter is either.
I think we got to. We were pretty tough on Devin early on. I think we got.
Yeah, he stunk.
Yeah, well, yeah, the guy, poor guy, poor guy was coming off the surgery table, and they were like, "Hey, go save us."
Yeah, what? That's the coldest part. It wasn't even that man's fault.
Right. I think we got a good idea of him. I think he's.
I don't even think.
So
he's Keon
I don't think
right
I
now.
Do.
I don't think he's Keon right now.
I don't
now
think I
like
know
that.
What Devin Carter is. I don't think I do. I need to see him next year. Now.
I think he's a Keon type player.
Casey Tucker brings it up too. Like, you could lose Lyle, so that just kind of adds to the depth and all that. Like, there's a lot that this team just needs to add.
I'm sorry, I don't care. With all due, I don't care if Trey. Like, you.
Well, it's different if you got Isaac Jones.
Yeah,
play better.
Well, with all due respect, you can replace Trey Lyles. He's a good basketball player.
I agree.
You could find another good basketball player.
Right.
Brother, we said that the last 5 years with this team, and they never really did that ever.
Well, goddamn it, then it goes back to Monty McNair.
You can replace him if you try. if you attempt to. You know, if these guys attempt to.
Maybe if you have a general manager, a singular general manager in line with your head coach, maybe we could figure out how to build a basketball team. Which leads me to my next question that I will ask. When D'Lo and Casey return.
Oh, look at this guy. Look at this guy with the tees. Look at him.
Plus, James Hamm joins us at the top of the hour here on Sacramento Sports Leader ESPN 1320. TC talking about here on the Elk Grove Key Line, 916-909-1320. TC, what's good, baby?
Yes, sir. Hey, brothers.
We good, man. What's up, TC?
Oh, man, just, you know, listening to the homies. Hey, check it out. So, I'm with you, though. So, as Fox, I can't speak for fans and everybody, but once to a lot of fans, bro, be feeling like he turned to, that's what I said from day one. The resentment and the anger, Fox, if it is, it's going to be towards that. The anger was coming before because he was organization. It was more, it felt like, dang, bro, you turned your back. We wanted you to be the guy, and you don't want to be the guy. You want to be a second guy, and then you be out of here. Bro, it's turned your back on this, bro, so now the anger going to come from. That's, you know, situation on Fox.
Okay.
All right. No doubt. No need.
Who's talking about? No, I'm just kidding. I'm just kidding.
You know, I think Fox, for a lot of people, you know, money, he was well within his right. He wanted to move on from what was going on here in Sacramento. I all the time if they had that conversation after Mike Brown was fired and check in, you know, and was it like, hey, I know what you said in the summer, but how do you want to do? I wonder if, do you think he's a Vivek Ranadive?
No. Can I go a step further? I'm pretty sure he told me he didn't. I don't think
if I'm Vivek, I got to talk.
I got in that conversation somewhere.
Vivek, I got to talk to him. Talk to him. And I don't know what happened. What it sounds like happened was they decided to fire Mike Brown.
Mm-hmm.
They remembered or they were reminded of what De'Aaron said in the summer. And they said, just going to trade him. Nobody checked in. Nobody tapped in and said, hey, I know this is what's going on. How you feel? Do you want to stay? And I say more so Vivek because it feels like at that point, Monty and Wes, they ain't had no pull. It already had started. So Vivek should have been the one to be like, look, man, yeah, these guys are getting out of here. But I want you here in Sacramento. Do you want to be here? Do you want to be? And if he would have said no, then it was like, all right, it's time to execute the trade. But what if he said yes?
Well, I think there was a lot of mismanagement there. I actually do have the notes in front of me. One thing that I wrote down and like underlined, he said he talked to the front office 4 times since they've been here. He said you can't hold a conversation with Monty, and I think you already know how I feel about Wes, so I'll just leave that part out. But
I don't even know what the hell that means. You can't hold a conversation with Monty. Like, what? Monty don't want
to. Monty doesn't talk to you. Like, I think it always feels like there's a semblance of awkwardness with Monty McNair. Like, we talk about his press conferences being like, he just does not look comfortable in that setting. It's so weird. You see him courtside, you feel like he's interacting with everybody. And he, mm-hmm. you know, he's not as cool as Alvin, but he's out here talking to people. Mm-hmm. I don't know that communication is his strong suit. Mm-hmm. But I know this drives you crazy. The lack of a press conference pissed him off. Mm-hmm. That you, if you had made the move and talked to him immediately on the plane, immediately on the way to LA, talk to him, mm-hmm. maybe you could have salvaged it. But the fact that they didn't talk, he had to answer questions multiple times. By the time he got to the "they know how I feel" line, that's when I think he was done. And he may have been done before that, and it just got, he got more frustrated with them because of the lack of a press conference, him having to answer questions and all of that.
And there's
but this all, I think the point is, this all goes back to Monty McNair.
Yeah.
This all goes back to the front office.
Yeah. Well, even with that being said, like with everything that you laid out, from everything that we've been told, they were the ones that, he was the one that said, I'm not doing a press conference. He should have been fired there. Now, mind you.
100%.
Mind you.
100%.
I'm not backtracking on, like, the press conference didn't matter to me. It did not matter to me whether they had one or they didn't. But two things do matter. number one, what your star player wants. Mm-hmm. It don't matter that I don't care about a press conference. If he cares, you figure out a way to have a press conference. And number two, the other part of the press conference that matters is the owner of the team said to have a press conference. If you're saying, no, I'm not doing a press conference, then you can go. This is your job.
Not only are you fired, you're fired with cause.
Yeah, get your ass out of here. He should have been fired on the spot.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just everybody managed that terribly between Vivek and Wes and Monty. Just awful.
Can I point something out here? And I feel like we are just burning this same firewood over and over again. But Kevin Russ says why it was Vivek's decision. He should have held the press conference. Kevin, I'll explain to you. The same reason Roger Goodell gives a press conference multiple times a year. Roger Goodell doesn't have a single original thought in his brain. Not because he's a dummy, not because he's an idiot. It's because he's speaking for his bosses. Do you know who his bosses are? The owners of every football team in the National Football League. Those are his bosses. If your boss tells you to go make up a reason why I fired Mike Brown, you do it. Whether you like it or not, you do it. That's why. You think Vivek is the first owner to fire a coach? You think Jason Kidd wanted to be sitting next to Nico Harrison a couple months ago? I'm sure he'll happily sit next to him now because the league is rigged. But a couple months ago, Jay Kidd out there looking like a deer in the headlights sitting next to Nico Harrison. He had a job to do. Jason Kidd had a job to do. I'm confident Jason was told to go do his job. And so he did it. I'm sure he's thrilled he did it today. I don't think he was thrilled in that moment.
All right.
It's part of what we do.
Simple as that.
And when I say we, I mean all of us.
Yeah.
Most of us, maybe not all of us, most of us have bosses that we have to answer to.
Yeah.
We once had a boss that would tell us, did you guys really do a 30-minute segment on Look Who's Talking To? Don't do that anymore. Now, our boss trusts us a little bit more. And if there was a reason for them to come to us and say, hey, maybe pull back on the John Travolta, Kirstie Alley breakdown.
Look, I'll give you John Travolta. Not Kirstie Alley.
Not Kirstie Alley.
You're talking.
Not Kirstie Alley. But that's why you do it, man.
Yeah, that's...
You're right.
I feel, once again, not trying to absolve any of the players, figuratively, not the literal players, from that situation. That was just awful. Like I said, Vivek should have talked to... You should have talked to one of them guys. Talked to De'Aaron Fox.
But the biggest thing is this goes all the way back to that playoff year, that offseason where you don't do anything. Because you talk about frustrations. De'Aaron could be frustrated with... De'Aaron, remember, threw the roster under the bus after a loss. I think it was against the Lakers.
I don't remember after the game, but it was during that... You mean when he was on Draymond's?
He said I think it was in a post game. I think. I could be wrong. It might have been post practice.
So he did it multiple times.
I think it was a post game where he was like, we need more. We need more help. You're literally crapping on your entire team because you're not being specific enough to know. I'm not talking about Domas. I'm not talking about Malik. I'm not talking about Keon or Devin or whoever. You're just being generic. So literally everyone in that locker room can go, you don't think I'm good enough to... I got an idea. How about you not score 30 tonight and 12 the next day?
That was crazy for him to say. I didn't like that the moment he said something like that. Like, what are you talking about?
I don't even think I realized he said that on the Draymond Green show. Maybe I was just buried with all the other stuff. That's right. Well, not the tree. Both of them.
Both of them.
Both of the trees.
And he said, well, obviously we need more because you da 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 da. And I was like, what do you mean? Obviously we need more. And that's when I went off. Like, what do you mean? I'm asking you to be the seventh seed. You need more to be the seventh seed or the sixth seed? What you talking about? You're supposed to be him.
Supposed to be.
Yeah.
And then that's the other thing, man. Like, he's not. And that's okay. Like, there were moments, especially in that playoff series, where I thought he was. Like, this is the dude. This is an A1 leader. And I think in the to me, you can't be a great leader in the right situation. You have to be a you have to be a great leader in every situation, or you're not a great leader. You talked about Rick Carlisle earlier in the show, and I think one of the things that Rick did was so brilliant was the first full year he let that team play. That first full year of Ty and where you have something with Ty and Siakam. All right, man. Y'all want to score 140? Go ahead. It's what you do best. Go ahead. Run. Go. Get at it. We're going to need depth, though. See all the weight Miles Turner's lost? He couldn't play. Miles Turner would not have been able to play under this system had he not lost weight. Hey, you don't have to sign a contract, but y'all need to be all in on what we're doing because this is how we're going to play because it's the only way we can win games. And he lets them do it for the whole season. Then the offseason gets here. You make a couple of moves, and he was like, hey, y'all, what you did last year worked. The league adapted to what we did. We're going to have to do a few things better, though, if we want to be like a true contender. We got to the conference finals. No one buys it, and that's fine. It's us against the world, guys. But we got to be a little bit better defensively. We don't have to lose our identity. We don't have to do anything. We have to be a little bit better defensively, and here's how we can do it. They do it all year. It's the Jill Adge motto of just be average. Literally what the Pacers did. Ran up and down the floor all year. Were roughly an average defensive team. Now they're one game away from the NBA Finals. And that depth has paid off for them. It's paid off for them against New York, particularly because of the way the Knicks play in the lack of depth that they have, or the lack of trust that Thibodeau has in his you know, 6, 7, and 8, mm-hmm. or maybe 7 and 8, and so on. And now you've got a team that is equipped. They are absolutely equipped to beat the deepest team in the league, or it's, you know, it might be 1 and 2 with these two teams, but they're equipped to beat Oklahoma City, in my opinion. Mm-hmm. And that's a testament to Rick Carlisle. He adjusted. The front office made a few changes, minor changes, not massive, not let's go get Mikal Bridges, let's go get Trae Young, let's go. No. Let's find guys who can complement our style. Let's find guys who can get up and down the floor. Let's find guys who could be help us be a little bit better defensively. Mm-hmm. Let's buy in on this on Mathurin, our young guy here, and really like allow him to like lean into this and be so. We're not going to trade anybody. We're not going to fall. Turn hoops hype off. Y'all don't need that. The Kings did none of that. They inquired from everything that we've heard a million times. They tried. They inquired. They fell short and ultimately re-signed Harrison Barnes and very literally ran it back. That, to me, wasn't a team that you can run back. If the Knicks lose one more game in this conference finals, to me, they can run it back. Mm-hmm. They're perfectly equipped to be right back here and be a series further if they lose by running it back with the same guys. They don't have to do anything crazy. The Kings weren't that. The Kings were, and again, it wasn't a massive overhaul. You just needed little tweaks. Didn't do it. And then Mike, as you pointed out earlier, Mike wanted to wipe the slate clean and start all over. And that right there was, we didn't know it. That was the beginning of the end. Mm. Wanted this team to play a way that they're not built to play. Instead of just letting them do what got them 48 wins last year. If you're not adding pieces to get better, just win 48 games then. Right. At least do what you did the year prior. And they got pretty close, which always will make me wonder, if they had just made a few additions, what would that 46 win season look like? What would last year look like? And where would we be today? But they didn't.
Yeah. And it's one of those things where if you, I believe right now, things are the maybe this is why I'm so, some would say, optimistic about what could happen. the line between being good and being desolate is about as razor thin as it's probably ever been in this league. You just laid out a number of scenarios where if one move would have went this way, maybe they're looking at being a 52-win team. But one move went this way, and it started an avalanche mm-hmm. of destruction.
Mm-hmm.
It's still like that.
Yeah.
It's still that. It may not be in the same form or fashion that you look at the Sacramento Kings in right now, but it's still like that. You make one or two correct moves this offseason, you can be, I'll say it, I'm not afraid, you can be a playoff team.
Let's bring James in.
Yeah. Because it's not I think the whole league is like this right now. It's this razor thin margin to go each way. Now there's some teams that have this built in, you know, we're good for a long time. When you talk about OKC, San Antonio, teams like that. I think Indiana's maybe gotten into that category now as well. But look at Boston. I know we say we take injuries out of it, but injuries happen.
Mm-hmm.
Boston went from thinking about, like, man, maybe we can go for three next year to we got to get rid of Jaylen Brown. We're just – maybe we take the year off and see how we can get in it. It is a razor-thin margin in the end right now. And I think that goes both ways. That's not just razor thin to being bad. Like, you're razor thin to being good as well.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate. Then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.